This morning, we're talking to Denise Reed, who's from Keystone People and Business, based in Leyburn. And we're talking about something that's very topical at the moment. We're going to talk about staff retention. And this has been in the news because many companies, and particularly those in the leisure industry, are struggling to recruit staff. It's become a problem. How did we get here? Denise, good morning. How did we get here?
Good morning. We got here through a series of circumstances which went hand in hand. So we got here because of Brexit, we got here because of COVID, and we got here in our particular area because it's a rural location. And it's a difficult time for a lot of local industries, specifically hospitality, that they're really struggling to get staff.
It's a perfect storm, isn't it? I mean, you've pointed out one there I wasn't expecting. Obviously, the first two are kind of out there generally, but the third one, being the rural area, is even further affected. I suppose it's not the number of people around that you get in a city looking for work. What is the way out of this? Is there a way out of this? Or do we need more people?
It's not necessarily the need for more people. It's being able to attract the right kind of people and retain them. So that is the biggest thing at this time, that you need to get your employees and you need to retain them.
Yeah.
Because it is, for some industries, it's an employees market. They can literally just move business to business to business.
Yeah.
Because there are so many opportunities out there.
I'll give you an example. A friend of mine who is like an assistant manager in a hotel, based in our area, well, he was. He wasn't very happy about the way he's being treated. And so he started looking, got five offers in a week to go to other hotels, and he's gone. He's off. Yeah. And that's, I guess, reflected across various different industries at the moment.
Yeah.
Retention. Absolutely. So retention, yes, breaks down into a number of different things, doesn't it? Training, is that important?
Training's really important. There are costs associated with taking employees on, and to replace an employee can cost anywhere between £12,000 and £30,000.
Wow.
Because they do not get up to full productivity, depending on the sector, obviously, but highly skilled ones won't get up to full capacity for 6 to 9 months. So you're looking to cover 6 to 9 months worth of wages. So it's vitally important that you get a good quality employee. You pick the right person in the first place. So this is all about advertising in the right place, making yourself look attractive or an employer of choice, which means people are going to want to come and work for you. But also it's about when you get your employee, it's about hanging on to them and making your place a great place to work.
Yeah. And what kind of ways can you do that? What are things that influence people?
So it's about communication. A lot of breakdown in employment is around poor communication. So employers need to make sure they're communicating with their employees very clearly and on a regular basis. And people like to be listened to. So if an employee has got an idea, they want to feel valued and listened to. So it's communication is a two-way street, and it's important that communication continues. It's also about showing the employee the potential for growth. So whether that's through additional training, whether it's through a progression route through the business, and just basically making sure that you're not necessarily offering perks and things like that, but small things like a thank you. Thank you for the job that you're doing. Recognition, a newsletter saying, well done, you've done a fantastic job, we really appreciate what you've done, can go such a long way. It doesn't have to be about free gym membership or perk boxes or whatever alternatives you may use. It doesn't need to be about that. It's about recognising their contribution towards your business.
You mentioned progression.
Yeah.
Is that a good way to lock employees in? The idea that you're saying to them, look, if you perform well, within 6 months, a year or whatever, I'll take you to a new position to do this. And then in the future, there's these possibilities for you.
Absolutely. Not not for all employees. Some employees do not have that drive. They just want to go to work, be happy in their work, go home at the end of the day. But there are a lot of employees who want to be challenged, who want to feel wanted, who want to see a route to improve themselves, improve their salary, improve their skills. So the majority, not all, the majority of people do want that opportunity, definitely.
For employers, then, it's about spotting people with that potential and also understanding those that don't necessarily want to, because they just want to come in and do their work and do their work well and then leave again and feel like they have a nice time while they're at work. So it's identifying the people, the difference in those people.
So that's called talent. So when you take on an employee, or sometimes there are actually people who go out and they're employers of talent, and they're the people who do headhunting. So they will find an employee potentially that they will encourage to join a different company. That's at the high end, not necessarily it within our rural place. I'm sure it goes on though, but it is one of those things. But when you begin working for an employer, as an employee, you begin what's called a psychological contract with them, which means you're prepared to go above and beyond for them. So you will do the additional hours. You'll come in early. You'll leave slightly later. You'll do something out of the norm, which is not necessarily in their contract. But if you don't feel valued, if you don't feel your worth has been recognised, then that psychological contract will eventually evaporate. And that's when you get a disgruntled employee.
Yeah. We started talking about retention. Yeah. And should employers be really careful to look at the life balance of the employee, whether, you know, that they're not spending so many hours at work that they can't have a life out of work and all they're doing is working?
I mean, like, especially because of what's happened recently, people have recognised the importance of family, the importance of being given flexible working opportunities, not necessarily having to go into an office, but having the ability to work from home. And it's putting all of these additional things in place, which will improve the work-life balance for some people, is a major thing. So it's vitally important that they're encouraged to, you know, going back many years, work was your sole focus and you live to work and now you work to live.
Yeah, you know, exactly. Yes, I understand. So you're saying, I get you what you're saying. Yeah. And also, I guess, there was this mentality that unless I could see my employees in the office, sat there in the corner, working away all the time, they're not working. And that spell's kind of been slightly broken because people have been asked to work from home and some firms have found productivity's gone up.
Exactly, because what's happened is that people have accepted the flexibility. So therefore, the psychological contract that they've got has increased, where they've gone that little bit further, a little bit more. It's easier. The kids are, you know, a lot of people homeschooling. Their employees were giving them the flexibility of working on a night time when the kids were in bed, because it meant that they could be productive at that time where they couldn't be when they were having to homeschool. So it's about adapting all kinds of working conditions to work with the employee, but still get production up. And most companies where they've found that the employees have been working from home, the productivity has increased because there's no distractions, or there's less distractions than if they were in an office potentially.
Talking about keeping them happy, they're in a better place, aren't they? Because they can, I can organise my day. I know I've got to do this work. I've got to do that amount of work. I can't do it this morning because the kids are here. So I'll do it this afternoon because it will be quiet then. I can do it. Do you know what? I feel happier about this. And that probably improves the productivity, doesn't it?
Absolutely, because that's about happy employees, a productive employee. So if you're keeping your employee happy, then they will be productive. So it works both ways.
This is Denise Reed. Thank you very much for coming on this morning, Denise, from Keystone People and Business, based in Leyburn. Good talking to you.
Thank you.
Bye.